The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 27th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wonderful, beautiful day here in Santa Rosa, California. So much going on in the world today. And on Tuesday, last Tuesday, May 21st, over 300 people gathered at Courthouse Square in Santa Rosa as part of the National Day of Action to stop the ban on abortion and to protect Roe versus Wade. This morning, joining me on the phone will be Leslie Graves, who I had on last week to announce the event, which was amazing when you think about it. And in less than a week's notice, she got this whole event together. And I'm really excited that she's going to give us an overview on what happened. I'm also thrilled about joining me in the studio will be Daisy Pitsty Lynn, who was one of the organizers at the town hall in Sonoma County about the Green New Deal, which happened last Wednesday, May 15th, at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. Unfortunately, our local paper did not have any coverage, and I thought it would be a good idea to have Daisy on to the show to give us an overview of what took place. For me, the most exciting thing about the event was that there were so many young people presenting several different groups. Schools for Social Action, the Sunrise Movement, and Youth versus Apopolis. Boy, I have a hard time with that word. It's really, really interesting. I am still stunned that so many states are passing these restrictive abortion laws. What is so disturbing to me is that they continue to put abortion on the forefront when, since Roe versus Wade became law, abortions have declined and the utilization of birth control have become more mainstream. What is also disturbing to me is the many individuals who call themselves pro-life are beating the drums of war. Amazing to me that this is happening. Well, today is Memorial Day, but before I do that, I just want to do a shout out. I want to do a happy birthday. You know, I am the president of the Sonoma County chapter of the National Organization for Women. I'm very, very proud to serve. And it turns out that California Now is now 44 years old. So happy birthday to California National Organization for Women. Just amazing to me that, oh my goodness, all these years, 44 years, that's a long time. That's four decades. So I really want to just say happy birthday to everybody. Well, today is Memorial Day, and, you know, I want to give special acknowledgement, first of all, to Ken's father. Here, our guests just come in. Come on in. I want to give acknowledgement to Ken's father. Come on, sit down.
She can't get behind you.
You know, folks, we're on live radio. It's just amazing. We have to adjust ourselves. Hi, Daisy. Our second guest here, Daisy, is here.
We're in the studio.
Welcome to the studio.
We're in studio.
Very,
D.
Very happy to have you. Well, back to Memorial Day. Ken's father, Don Norton, and his uncle, Jerry Norton, served valiantly during World War II. Also, my uncle Nathan Dorfman also served during World War II, and also many, many people, many of our friends, my dear deceased friend Lee Gooding served during the Vietnam War, and also a shout out to all the vets for peace that have come back from all these various wars. You know, Memorial Day is a federal holiday in the United States for remembering and honoring people who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. The holiday, which is currently observed every year on the last Monday of May, was most recently held today, May 27, 2019. Since World War I, which was followed by World War II, and some are predicting we are at the start of World War III, we have had the following wars. Of course, after World War II, we had the Cold War. Then we had the Korean War. Then we had the invasion of Laos. Then we had Vietnam. Then we had Afghanistan. Then we had Iraq. Oh, how about the wars that are supporting Israeli conflict, Yemen conflict? And the horror that's happening in Syria. I mean, what's so crazy to me, and this is really crazy, that all wars are fought in the name of peace? And in looking at all these wars, I'm concluding that that's an illusion. If all wars are fought in the name of peace, we would have had peace a long time ago. So it's very important. You know, it's very important that we look at what war represents. You know, Ken and I are watching a series called The Buddha. It's 55 episodes, and we're on round two. I mean, we've went through all 55, and now we're back to, I think, what are we on, about number 30 right now. And I couldn't help but what the Buddha said. He says, what good is war? Wars only create more wars, but also wars create widows. They create killing. Killing of innocents. For what reason? And we say all wars are fought in the name of peace. So, folks, we need to think about that. Maybe the time has come when we have to stop warring and stop hating each other so much and start looking at how we actually can achieve peace. And I really believe that the first peace has to come within each one of us. Because if we love ourselves and we love our neighbor, all of a sudden you can't do any harm. You know, and that's what war does. War creates harm. But I don't want anybody to get me wrong. You know, I am against all wars, but I still want to say thank you for all the young men who gave their lives in service because they believed in freedom. And that's one thing that we've been fighting in the United States for freedom, for the right to be free. And right now, our First Amendment is under attack, and we really have to be aware of that. All these wars we fought are so we can maintain our Constitution, democracy. In fact, when we say we're going to have a war, we say we're over there to support democracy. Well, we have to start looking at other ways to do that. So that's a lot to think about, but you know something? That's what Women's Spaces is all about, thinking about things. Well, I have a special announcement to make, and that is that Sonoma County Pride is coming up. That's going to be May 31st to June 2nd, and there's going to be a big event down at the Sonoma County, down at the old courthouse square in Santa Rosa, and I want to do a shout-out. It's wonderful. You know, it's their theme is the Year of Love. I mean, how much better can it get? The Year of Love. I love that. Love. What is love? You know, when you start thinking about love, is they have a little definition here. Love is a verb. It means to hold dear, cherish, have compassion for humanity, strut your true colors, self-pride, and party like a rock star. Be you. So everybody, I hope you can join the Sonoma County Pride and really support all the folks that put that on. It's just amazing. I mean, it's amazing that this happens every year, and I think it's getting bigger and bigger. So that's going to be May 31st to June 2nd, 2019, and you can go on to www.sonomacountypride.org, and you can see all the fun events they are going to have and colorful. You know, that Pride Parade is the most colorful thing, I think, that happens in the whole world. Anyway, lots to think about there, too. Well, guess what? Today is May 27th, the last Monday of the month. So we do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And, you know, I want to just make a commentary here about the pledge. You know, when you start looking at it and you start saying it, what is the goal of the pledge really is to develop more inner strength. You know, in watching the series on the Buddha, the one thing that came very clear to me that you have to go within. You have to know yourself. You have to believe in yourself. You have to get rid of your ego, your fears of acceptance, non-acceptance, all the things we go through, like women particularly. With me, I wrote a poem called I'm More Than My Hair. For all my life, I've worried about my hair. Oh, my God. You know, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? If my hair doesn't look good, nothing's going to happen. So the idea around self-esteem is to develop that inner core, that inner strength, particularly right now with women, that we can stand up and say no more. No more wars. No more killing of our children. No more trying to control our bodies. I mean, this whole thing around abortion is really making me ill. I mean, I can't believe we're even here. All we're talking about is freedom of choice. Then a woman has the right to her own body and to make her decisions, whether she wants to go this way or that way. And also what's so interesting is when you think that the birth rate is declined because we're getting more and more birth control, I don't understand what all the fuss is about. So let's start looking at the pledge. Remember, for you folks driving in a car, just listen. You know, don't stop. I mean, if you want to stop and listen to it, then you can take a deep breath and maybe close your eyes. But if you're driving the car, just stay conscious. And if you're in your living room or your kitchen, just kind of relax in your chair. I'm going to say the pledge first. And then I'm going to say each line, and then you repeat after me. And I have two people in the studio with me. If you would join me, I'd really appreciate it. And to remember that this is about building your self-esteem, of letting go of the negative voices that are inside of you that telling you that you're not okay, or if somebody confronts you that you have to go their way. So just listen to it very quietly, and then I'm going to say one line, then you repeat after me, and then we'll say it all together. Okay, so just listen. The pledge. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Now, the word higher power has gotten a little bit of attention, so you can put it any way you want. Whatever your higher power, whatever your personal belief is, it could be Jesus, it could be Muhammad, it could be Buddha, it could be a leaf outside, whatever your higher power is. So now I'm going to say each line, and if the folks in the studio here could repeat it after me, I would appreciate it. Here we go. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. God. Doesn't that sound great? My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. In other words, don't let anybody evaluate you or judge you. And you know, it says the same thing for someone else. Their self-esteem doesn't depend on your opinion of them. So it becomes kind of a win-win situation. So we're going to say it all together. We'll go through it one more time. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Oh, it just gives me the chills. I just love that little saying. You know, I developed that for my grandson, Ryan. You know, he came out one day out of his nursery school and started crying. And I said, Ryan, what's the matter? He says, the teacher said I was a bad boy. I said, really? A bad boy? Well, I got news for you. I remember when they used to call me a bad girl, and I suffered for years with that. So I looked at him, and I says, wait a minute. Your self-esteem doesn't depend on that teacher. And that's when I made up the pledge, and we said it for years together. So thank you, Ryan, my dear Ryan, who's actually just become, he's just become a father, which is just amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now. And let's go back to, you know, today is Memorial Day. And I really have a belief system. I know it doesn't quite look like it now, but I remember a friend of mine said that until there are 68% of women sitting at the table, we will never have peace. So I picked a really wonderful song for Memorial Day. It's sung by a dear friend of mine, Becky Hobbs. I just love her work. It's called No More Wars. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Leslie Graves, who I had on last week, and she's going to be talking about the wonderful gathering that we had in downtown Santa Rosa last Tuesday. So let's go on, Ken. Let's listen to No More War by Becky Hobbs. Boy, if women rule the earth, I hope that would be true. You know, who knows, right? Well, anyway, for you just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You know, we have to get Leslie on the phone, Ken. Do we have a phone here?
You want Leslie?
Yeah. Welcome back, listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest who's joining me on the phone, Leslie Graves. Leslie was the coordinator for the Stop the Ban rally in Santa Rosa, which happened last Tuesday. And we're getting her on the phone, but I want to remind folks also that,
Hi, Leslie.
Here she is on the phone now.
This is KBEF, Radio KBEF, and you're on for an interview.
Hi, Leslie.
Okay. Just a minute. Here you go.
Hello, Leslie. Leslie, are you there?
I am here.
I can hardly hear you. Can you bring up the sound a little bit, Ken?
No.
Can you hear me? Come closer to your phone.
I am as close as I humanly can be.
Is that how it's coming through, Ken? I can hardly hear her.
It's fine.
Oh, okay, it's fine. Well, welcome, Leslie. How are you doing this morning?
I am good. I am good. Thanks for having your show on Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day to everybody in studio and listening right now.
Well, here we are, 2019, and I don't know, it's been almost 100 years in 2020 since we got the vote. And here we had this massive protest across the nation and also happened in Santa Rosa, California. So why don't you give us a little overview of what took place? First of all, what motivated you to organize this? What kind of was stirred in you?
Well, I want to say that the Stop the Bans rally that occurred in Courthouse Square last Tuesday, the 21st, was spurred on by the abortion bans that are happening, unfortunately, sweeping across states in the United States here. On Wednesday the 15th, we had Alabama actually pass an abortion ban, and just recently, Missouri also signed into law a very similar abortion ban that gives no exception for women or people who have experienced incest or rape. So being that we have a number of these states that are restricting abortion rights for people, and remember, this is really making it to where abortion and reproductive rights are being restricted for people of color, people that are already marginalized. And they're taking away their health care ability for themselves, that women here in Santa Rosa and all across Sonoma County wanted to come together. There's a good many of us, upwards to about 1,000 people, included men, included allies. And we took to Courthouse Square, and we rallied, and we protested, and we made our voices heard in order to stop the ban.
Well, I want to inject something right here, Leslie. I looked up because Planned Parenthood has been, a lot of the major controversy has been around, abortion, Planned Parenthood, we got to get rid of it. And I went on the internet and I was shocked when I found the services that Planned Parenthood actually offers. Of course, they offer abortion services, which is their smallest percentage of services that are used, but they do provide that. Also, they do referrals, they help with birth control, emergency contraception, after the morning pill, general health care, LGBT services, and actually men's health services. Men can come to Planned Parenthood for health services addressing cancer, STDs, fertility, sexual dysfunction, birth control, and routine checkups. Can you imagine? There's actually a provision for men, patient education, pregnancy testing and services, STD testing, treatment, and vaccine, and a multitude of women's services, particularly around birth control. And that's why actually the abortion rate is decreased, because women are more educated around birth control. So I think it's very interesting when you start looking at why today, when so many things are changing and so many things are getting better. Well, tell us some.
I want to make sure that you realize too, with all of that information that you just gave out, that the abortion rates did decrease, and they had been on the decrease. In 2014, we actually had, this is an important number to know, only 14 abortions per 1,000 women, whereas in countries where the abortions are banned across the world, those countries where it's banned, the abortion rates go up to 37 per 1,000. And what we're doing by creating these bans in these different states is that we're restricting health care. You talked about all the great health care services that Planned Parenthood and other clinics that are out there are providing people, and they're providing people that are on the fringes. They're not the people that have insurance that go to their doctor regularly. These are people that wait until those emergencies come up or to those extreme circumstances come up. And these are the clinics that we need open. We've been restricting their ability of those doctors and those clinics to be open because we've taken away funding, and now we're actually saying in certain states like Alabama, Missouri, Ohio, Georgia, and others that we are actually going to ban abortions. That is not constitutional. It is an attack on Roe versus Wade, and it's an attack on women. And on Tuesday the 21st, I was so proud of Sonoma County, so proud of everybody in Santa Rosa for coming out. We had a wide amount of support from people that were driving their cars by, even 18-wheelers.
I'd like to inject something here. Let me just inject something. It's very, very interesting when you start talking about, cutting funding. You know, they're cutting funding for Planned Parenthood or for abortions or for women's health care, whatever they want to call it. But yet they're increasing. Here we are on the military. You know, we're celebrating the Memorial Day, our fallen heroes. And, you know, I want to mention something also that we have to include not only all the lives of our soldiers that are lost during wars, but all the lives of innocent women and children and men. So we decrease funding for health care, but yet we increase funding for military. It just doesn't make sense. Well, as you're doing a shout-out for the folks in Santa Rosa, can you tell us about how many people you thought there were about 1,000 going in and out, in and out, in and out? What was the general feeling of everybody there?
You know, as it is with all the different political rallies that we've had in Santa Rosa that I've participated in and organized, the general impression is that, one, people come with frustration. They're coming with their emotions on their sleeve. And then there is a sense of relief that they're seeing people like themselves and a great many other people that may or may not look like themselves that are actually out there on the front lines. There's a community that is being built. And within that community, we're also giving folks the ability to take further action, to take future action. So we have information posted up online right now at our Women's March Santa Rosa page in order to support and contribute and actually join different organizations, whether it be through social media or it be through their website. Planned Parenthood, absolutely fantastic, but there's a myriad of other organizations that are out there. And while we're supporting our reproductive rights, we also want to remember that we've got to fight against voter suppression, and we also have to turn seats in legislators and in houses across different states in order for these bans not to be brought up again and to be struck down. So it is an attack on Roe versus Wade. Their ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and others are taking this to the courts, but we want to do our job. So we want to get out the vote. We want to support organizations. We want to support reproductive health clinics, and we want to support the women that are in these states in order for them to continue to get the health care that they need around reproductive services and so much more, as you were mentioning earlier.
Well, you know, before we say goodbye, and I want to have, if you have any last words, and also to give us the website again. But, you know, Leslie, I want to acknowledge you. I want to acknowledge all women that have the passion and the dedication that you have. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm amazed that you were able to pull that together in less than a week. And it was a very, very powerful, very, very powerful gathering. And I want to thank you and acknowledge it right now. So thank you so much. And you're an example for other people. When you want to do something, just go out and let's get it done. Let's make it happen. So any last words, Leslie? And give us that website one more time.
Yeah, and I want to appreciate you, Elaine, for always helping to get out the word so that more people can participate. It is one thing to take up the charge, but it's another thing to get a lot of folks there. So thank you so much for your efforts in that. And remember those folks that are listening right now that we've got a lot more work to do, and not only on the front lines, but behind the scenes in order to support those organizations. So please do go to your Facebook pages and look for Women's March Santa Rosa. On that page, you will find plenty of organizations that are listed out. It's in a picture form, so it's easy for you to print out. And there's organizations that are both national and ones that are local, as well as ones that are in specific states. And they really do appreciate us, and they do appreciate that we are supporting them. So we ask everybody to to get out there and support it. And remember this Memorial Day that there's nothing more patriotic than not only supporting our fallen soldiers and supporting those people in service right now, but also speaking up and using your voice for justice.
For justice and peace, because without justice, there is no peace. Without peace, there is no justice. So, I mean, we need both. It's very important. Well, Leslie Graves, thank you so much. And one last question, love. Anything under your sleeve? Yep. You got anything on the forefront? Anything, you know, any secret planning you're doing that you'd like to share?
Well, you know, I'm participating, actually, which I love to do. I do quite a bit of organizing, but I'm very fortunate and very honored to be participating in Sonoma County Pride. And I know that you're going to be talking about Sonoma County Pride is coming up, the parade and the festival in Courthouse Square on Saturday, June 1st. And I'm so excited that I was asked to be a judge of the parade. I'm going to do my best to not be a judgy judge. I'm going to be a fun judge, and I know the other two judges alongside me are going to do that as well. It's going to be a great time. So excited to see such inclusivity that Sonoma County Pride has garnered and brought into downtown Santa Rosa. It is really one of the hallmarks of Sonoma County is our ability to be inclusive with all of our diversity. So excited about it.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I really have to apologize. You know, I have them on every year before, and this year from the computers, I don't know how it all got messed up, but I want to do a shout out to JD because she is the organizer and does just a great, great job. So thank you, JD, and thank you so much, Leslie Graves, for being on Women's Spaces, for giving us the interview, and thank you for all you do for our community.
Thank you. You guys have a great time in studio. And again, happy Memorial Day to everybody out there.
Thank you so much, Leslie Graves. That was Leslie Graves, who is what I call her event organizer extraordinaire. Thank you so much again, Leslie, for being on our show. Well, we're about to take another musical break, and this is one of my favorite songs. I just love this song. It's by Betsy Rose and the Women's Choir. It's called We Are the Women. And let me tell you something. When you look at JD and you look at Leslie Graves and you look at all these powerful women out there that are doing so many wonderful things, you know, you just look at, you listen to this song and listen to the words because I think it rings true today. And when we come back, we will be talking with Daisy Pitsty-Lyon, and she's going to be talking about the new Green Deal and also talking about what went on here in Sonoma County when we had our wonderful, wonderful town hall meeting. So here we go. Let's listen to Betsy Rose, We Are the Women.
We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow. Women. Women who pray, women whose wisdom will light the way. We are women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I have one more announcement to make, and that is that on, on June the 3rd to June the 7th, and it begins at 8 o'clock at the Federal District Court, 97th Street in San Francisco, Courthouse Number 9, 19th floor, Judge Teeger. They're going to be doing the trial for Branch Roth, who was tasered by the Rohnert Park Police Department. Public safety officers is coming up, and Marnie and Chris Roth are two of my dear friends, and they asked me if I would please make the announcement, and so I'm making the announcement. Welcome back, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and like I said, you're listening to Women's Spaces. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest in the studio with me, Daisy Piss T. Lyon. Go to the head of the class, Elaine. You finally learned how to pronounce a name. Anyway, welcome, Daisy. Welcome to Women's Spaces. And, you know, I got to say this. It's just a pleasure getting to know you. I mean, your energy and your activity and your actions have just been very, very inspiring to me. So I'm so happy to have you here at the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Elaine.
Well, before we start, I want to tell our listening audience just a little bit about you. Daisy is a Sonoma County native and longtime advocate for the environment. She did her undergraduate and master's degree work. Ken also went to Stanford at Stanford University. Congratulations. I mean, that's pretty good. In environmental, she got a degree in environmental science and policy and then spent several years working in Sonoma County for the Greenbelt Alliance. What was the Greenbelt Alliance?
Greenbelt Alliance is a regional organization that works in the 9-county Bay Area. They're based out of San Francisco, but they cover all 9 counties, and they do advocacy on land use planning, so urban planning and then open space protection. So both helping preserve our natural areas and our farmlands from development, and then concentrating on in our urban areas, creating better walkable communities, better transit connections, putting more mix of uses so people can walk, bike, and get around on transit without having to drive their cars. Much of what we're trying to do kind of in downtown Santa Rosa, what we've been doing in downtown Petaluma the last few years, you can see it. So I worked in Sonoma and Marin for 4 years back in the, from 2005 to 2009, doing advocacy on that.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, after the Greenbelt Alliance, she then left and spent a decade, oh my goodness, in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco, working with groups across the country on creating solutions to climate change and building clean energy. She spent the last year back here at home as the executive director of Sonoma County Conservation Action and is now heading off to her next adventure. Boy, anybody that has you, I'm sure, is going to really appreciate, especially the skills, especially that alliance. I had no idea that they had done so much work around the environment. Yes. Well, listen, before we get into talking about the Green New Deal and all that other stuff, let's talk a little bit about you. What inspired you? I mean, what made you? What was the thing that, you know, as a young woman that all of a sudden you said, I'm going to work in the environment. I have got to do something.
You know, it's funny. People ask me that, and I'm always unsure how to answer it because it's just been such a part of who I am from growing up. You know, I was lucky to grow up out in Rionito, actually, out near Guerneville. And I grew up in a redwood canyon with a creek across the street from me. And even though the community of Rionito is quite small, it is surrounded by this beautiful nature. You know, the rain would fall in the winter through the redwood leaves, and it would pitter-patter on our roof, and I would look out my window and just see the bark, moist bark, and smell it when I walk out of my house. And, you know, when I was playing during junior high and high school, I'd go play up in the creek and go into Armstrong Woods and kind of go off trail, shh, don't tell anyone, and get lost in the woods. And, you know, my parents very much always emphasized the connection between humans and nature. And I grew up in the lived experience of that connection. You know, our existence was dependent on nature having the system working. Because if it didn't, we would get big floods, or we'd have big landslides, or we'd have trees fall in our house, you know. And then also that we had such an impact on nature. I could see in our daily activities, you know, if there was garbage or if we you're polluting the water, or as I started to become more aware of like climate change and the bigger, more macro impacts we're having on the environment, understanding, you know, deforestation and overfishing in our populations off the coast, and starting to just understand the interconnection that human life is dependent on the natural resources and having those systems function well. And then those systems are also dependent on humans not taking more than they can bear and not putting too much into the environment. And so I always just kind of grew up with that awareness. Yeah.
Well, you know, you brought something interesting up, that you had the awareness. And I think of all these young people growing up in cities, you know, where they don't have that awareness. And I wonder if that's not part of the problem when you come to think of it. And, you know, yesterday, I just, in what you're saying, yesterday I had a really interesting experience. Ken and I went for a walk, and we have a neighbor of ours that has a beautiful, beautiful rose garden. And, in fact, I really encourage people, walk around your neighborhood. You'd be surprised what's growing there. I mean, it's just amazing. And I stopped, and I looked at this beautiful yellow rose. And all of a sudden, I wrote this, a rose shed a tear of rain. Rain is water. Water is life. And as you were talking, I was wondering how many people have that kind of awareness that everything around us is to sustain us. That's how we live, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat. Even the bed we sleep in, even the place we walk, all these things contribute to our health. And if we don't have that, we don't have a healthy and sustainable environment. So great story.
So, well, and actually interesting that you bring that up, because I had that same thought fairly early on. Was I was lucky enough to grow up in an environment that very much showed me that connection to nature. So many people growing up in cities or in the suburbs don't have that. When I was in college, along with some friends, I actually founded and then ran an organization that took kids from the city backpacking, because we were all a bunch of, you know, backpackers, and we loved it. And we thought, gosh, you know, there's a lot of people that don't ever get the opportunity to be exposed to this activity, who would never think to do it on their own, but who would benefit so much from that time in nature. And the more studies that come out in recent years, the more is shown that kids are really suffering from a nature deficit disorder. Right? They don't have the connection to green spaces. They don't have time off their tablets and their phones and their TVs connecting to the world around them. And that the, you know, you've been talking a lot about the Buddha recently and this series you're watching, but the calmness and the mindfulness that can come from spending time in nature is very powerful. And as we get more and more into our technology, we're losing that. And there's a whole generation being raised directly on technology for most of their day. And so it's even more important now than it was, you know, 15 years ago when I was in college founding this organization, which is still around, thankfully, to get kids outside. And there are some really great organizations here in Sonoma County that do that. Like Land Paths is one of my favorites that works with adults and with kids to get them out into nature, onto our open spaces and our parks. And there's a lot of environmental education organizations like that. And then later in my career, also when I was in Washington, D.C., back in 2010, 2011, the organization I worked for was called the Alliance for Climate Education. Because I'd been working here for Greenbelt Alliance, and I thought, gosh, Sonoma County is so wonderful. We've done so much environmentally compared to the rest of the country. And I saw climate change and this huge issue coming up. And I said, we need to get out and we need to educate people about climate change. We need to get the next generation to understand what's happening so that they can be informed voters as they become adults. And so that organization is all across the country. I was in D.C. all over the Mid-Atlantic and the Southeast, traveling in Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Alabama, North Carolina, Kentucky, you know, all sorts of places, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, going into high schools and giving this really exciting, inspiring presentation as an assembly about climate science and clean energy and the dire straits we could be in if we don't address the issue, and then showing them the potential of this beautiful, inspiring future we can create together if we decide to take action and we decide to put into place clean energy and climate solutions. And what we're seeing right now with the Sunrise Movement, all these kids protesting in Congress and out on Fridays from schools, is that generation that has finally understood the problem, understands the impact it's going to have on their future, and is rising up to meet the challenge.
Excuse me. Well, I saw it at the Green New Deal town hall. I saw, the thing that was the most stunning to me when you talk about young people is how articulate they are, mm-hmm. and how much they know. I mean, compared to when I was growing up in the 40s and the 50s, we had no consciousness about environment or anything like that. Let me ask you a question, you know, talking about the New Green Deal and also talking about What was the whole focus, the idea around, you know, give us a little bit about, a little information about the Green New Deal and what inspired you to do this whole town hall?
Yeah. Well, so your listeners probably have heard something about the Green New Deal.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah. And they've probably seen these images of the young people who are out on Fridays, protesting Fridays for Future is the hashtag. The climate strike is the other hashtag. Kids across the world have been inspired by Greta Thunberg. She from Norway,
Sweden.
And taking action to stand up for their future. And one of the big youth movements going on in the United States right now is called the Sunrise Movement. It's this very inspiring movement of younger people who were in Congress protesting along with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the front of Nancy Pelosi's office. And they've gone into Dianne Feinstein's office, and they've gotten some viral videos out of that from the poor reactions that these leaders who claim to care about our future have had. These are leaders who've been in Congress for 30, 40 years. The entire time, we have known that climate change was an issue. We have had hearings in Congress about climate change for over 30 years. And yet no one has taken enough courage and stood up to fossil fuel companies to get something actually passed through Congress. We've had a bunch of, quote, leaders who haven't led on the most pressing issue of our time. And so when I was in D.C. in 2010, 2011, there was a climate bill, a cap-and-trade climate bill that went through the House and it passed. And we had at that time a Democratic Senate and President Obama in office. One would think that we could have gotten a climate bill passed. However, due to a lot of fossil fuel money that was going into the hands of Democrats from the South and a lot of the oil-producing states, and then also the BP oil spill happened in the Gulf, and that created some political issues, the bill failed in the Senate. We couldn't get 60 votes, because at that time, when we had Democratic control, we were expected to get 60 votes, which the Republicans don't hold to now, you know. And so we could not pass a bill to address the most pressing issue of our time, even though we had a fully Democratic Congress and presidency. And so part of what we learned from that was that we needed more of a grassroots swell of support for this issue if we were going to get it passed next time around. And we're looking forward to 2020, hoping that this nation wakes up and changes who's in the White House, and hoping we can take back control of the Senate, which, as you said a little bit earlier on the show, we must engage in. Here in Sonoma County, we're, you know, going to keep Democratic control of our congressional seats, but we need to make sure that we also send support to other parts of the country through time and money and people power to change and flip those seats. But we have had, the Sunrise Movement has organized over 300 town halls across the country in April and May to show to our elected leaders across the country that there is support for the Green New Deal. And that was what this town hall was about here in Sonoma County. It was part of this huge national movement.
Well, you know, it's really interesting when you talk about the environment and I can't help but go back to the whole idea of war, you know, and all the different things is that, you know, we can vote war. Mm-hmm. Like a snap of the finger.
Right.
But yet when it comes to the environment, when it comes to health care, when it comes to all those different things, it seems like it's an uphill, it's a struggle. It's an absolute struggle. Mm-hmm. And I think what's so important about the young people coming up is because when you look at, you know, all this pro-life stuff and, you know, anti-abortion and, oh, my God, save the fetus, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. These are young kids that have been born. They're suffering from asthma. They're getting cancer. One in three children are getting cancer in the world. I mean, it's from our food. It's from the air. It's from the water they're drinking, you know. And yet nobody seems to put two and two together. And it's just mystifying to me that we make such a big deal on this end.
Mm-hmm.
But yet on the other end, it's so hard. And what you're talking about is supporting life. you know, they're saying pro-life. Mm-hmm. Well, when that fetus comes out, when that child comes out, it needs a lot in order to survive. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, when you look at different ages, like you look at my age group, the cancer rate is less. As you get more and more and down the line, you see, and you come to this generation, it's even increased more. So it's something that we really need to... We really need to take, you know, we need to take a lot. We need to start looking a little bit deeper at what is going on in this world. It saddens me sometimes, you know, when you live a lifetime and you look and you think how simple it is. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. It's really, really simple.
Yeah. Well, so to get back to your earlier call with Leslie Graves, you know, to say you're pro-life because you're preserving a fetus once it has a heartbeat. It's like, how many other things have heartbeats on this planet? All of the children detained at the border have heartbeats. All of the children being gunned down in schools have heartbeats. All of the refugees seeking to come to this country to escape war, in many cases, war that we've helped create in their country, they all have heartbeats. And yet, no one talks about them when they're talking about being pro-life. And like you said, being pro-environment is absolutely being pro-human. It's being pro the future of our species, because the planet itself is going to continue sustaining. We are going to have, I mean, a UN report that just came out a few weeks ago said we'll have 1 million animal and plant species die off in the next decade or so if we don't dramatically change course and stop overpolluting, overfishing our oceans, and moving forward on the trajectory we're on climate change. It's really, really sad when you think about it. But the most important thing to not forget for a lot of people is that this isn't just about polar bears. Human existence has been completely evolved. Our whole civilization has evolved within a very stable climate. If you look over the last, like, tens of thousands of years, we've had really stable climate. And what we're doing to ourselves right now by burning coal, oil, and gas is changing the climate in a way that we have never experienced as hominids, as upright Homo erectus. We have never lived in a climate like the one we're entering into right now because of the release of greenhouse gases.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you bring that up. We're beekeepers. And once we became beekeepers, I started finding out how the bees were in problems. They're having trouble. They're dying out, many, many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're our pollinators. And I start thinking to myself, wow, hundreds and thousands of years these little creatures have been around, and our generation is the generation that's destroying it. I mean, it's really, really something to look at. Well, what were some of the things that, you know, going back to the Green New Deal, the conference that you had, the town hall, and I realized it was across the nation, which is really mm-hmm. exciting that we were able to pull it together, that you were, and my God, well, how many people they had.
So we had, it was two Wednesdays ago, and it was pouring rain.
Right. We walked pretty far in the rain to get there, but go ahead.
Yeah, and it was over 300 people that showed up. We had a packed house down at the fairgrounds. We were so blown away by how many people showed up. There were young people, there were old people, there were middle-aged people, there were middle-young people. There's all kinds of ages.
We all want to survive.
Yeah. And we were trying to make it really accessible to everybody. We had a food truck, so we will get dinner. We had translation into Spanish. Para que toda la comunidad puede... asistir y... entender. And we were talking about the Green New Deal, which is a plan that has come out of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other members of Congress, but it's been around for a while. Our congressman here, Jared Huffman, has been one of the earliest signatories, and Representative Mike Thompson also was one of the first, like, 33 people that signed on. So we're doing good here in Sonoma County, but we got to make sure that they continue being champions, and that's part of why we held the town hall, that they really saw that there was huge support for them to continue to lead on this here at home. And the idea of the Green New Deal is that we can't address climate change without also addressing income inequality and social justice. because these are the top issues of our time right now. And we can look at what the New Deal under Franklin Delano Roosevelt did that brought us out of the Depression going into World War II, where we created jobs. We had a jobs guarantee so that everyone knew they would have an income. And those jobs were things that invested in the infrastructure of our nation. They built roads, they built bridges, they did art projects, they did public works projects, they built trails throughout our national park system, they built cabins people could stay in. We had food guarantee, you know, we created all these social systems and safety nets so that people could know they were taken care of. And what we need to do right now is address climate change by building back our forests, rebuilding back our soil. Soil absorbs a huge amount of carbon, and farmers can be a huge part of the solution. They can grow healthier food, they can absorb carbon, and they can have the income supports they need to continue existing. We can create good jobs for workers. We can create a minimum wage that is a living wage. And we can also ensure that we are reducing our emissions from transportation by building better public transit, because transportation in Sonoma County is a huge part of our emissions. And we can also ensure that we are preserving our natural areas and enhancing them.
You know, Daisy, time goes by so quickly when we're having fun. I would like to consider this part one, and I'd like to invite you back again, perhaps maybe next week, and we can go to part two. We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Daisy, for being here, for giving us so much good information, and for doing such a wonderful thing. Is there any websites or anything that people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, 350 Sonoma will have information on their website. We had people separate at the end of the event and get together to send postcards to their city councils, and we're going to have some of that information on the website soon. Yeah.
Well, time goes by too fast, folks, in this studio. Well, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Daisy Pissy Lyon for being such a wonderful guest, and also to Leslie Graves for giving us such a great interview. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 27th, 2019.